Hello, this is Kathy Hart, host of the Health First Radio Show. We have some wonderful guests on for you today. In the first half, we're going to talk to Dr. Jacob Tietelbaum. Diabetes is optional. And in the second half, we're going to speak with Mary DeMocker, and she's the author of The Parent's Guide to Climate Revolution. But first, here's Alan with the Health First News.
People who get a liver transplant often require less anti-rejection medication, and new research helps explain why. Study author Dr. Tamusin Tanner, a transplant surgeon at the Mayo Clinic in Rochester, Minnesota, explains this study shows that the liver transplant itself regulates the host's immune responses. Compared to the other organs, the liver is immunologically a very active organ, so it is capable of regulating the immune responses against itself. Scientists have known for decades that people who have had a liver transplant need less medication to suppress their immune system and prevent their body from rejecting the organ they received. This is true even if they receive other organs along with a new liver, the study authors explained. The findings were published recently in the journal Kidney International. Pregnant women may want to skip all soft drinks while they're expecting if they want their child's learning and memory skills to be sharper, new research suggests. The study found that when mums-to-be had more sugar, especially from sugar-sweetened sodas, their children had poorer nonverbal problem-solving abilities and verbal memory. These children also had poorer global intelligence scores associated with verbal knowledge and nonverbal skills. Diet soda wasn't much better. Drinking it during pregnancy was linked to poorer fine motor, visual, spatial, and visual motor abilities in early childhood, around age 3. By mid-childhood, age 7, kids whose mums drank diet sodas while pregnant had poorer verbal abilities, the study findings reported. The study was published online recently in the American Journal of Preventive Medicine. Hearing aids may mean fewer visits to the hospital for seniors, a new study suggests. Researchers examined data from more than 1,300 adults aged 65 to 85 with severe hearing loss and found that only 45% of them used a hearing aid. Those who did use a hearing aid were less likely to have gone to an emergency room or spent time in the hospital within the past year. The study found the difference was about 2 percentage points. While that's not a major difference, it's large enough to be significant, according to the University of Michigan researchers. They also found that among seniors who had been hospitalized, those with hearing aids spent an average of half a day less in the hospital than those without hearing aids. The study was published April 26th in the journal JAMA Otolaryngology, Head and Neck Surgery. It may not replace prescription glasses, but a few bites of dark chocolate might offer a slight and temporary bump up in vision quality, new research suggests. Heart-healthy compounds in chocolate called flavanols appeared to sharpen eyesight for a group of 30 healthy young adults in the new study. The observed change in vision was small but significant. However, the study authors stressed that it's too early for ophthalmologists to recommend chocolate as medicine for the eyes. A team led by Dr. Jeff Rabin of the University of the Incarnate Word in San Antonio, Texas, said the duration of these effects and their influence in real-world performance await further testing. His team published its results online April 26th in JAMA Ophthalmology.
Dr. Jacob Tietelbaum's been with us on this radio interview many times with many books, and I think this is his fifth book, Diabetes is Optional. So welcome, Dr. Jacob Tietelbaum.
Kathy, great to be with you today.
Oh, it's so good to have you back. So you've written a book on basically on how to avoid getting diabetes, adult type 2 diabetes. Is that correct?
How to make it go away.
And how to make it go away. So can you explain diabetes just in a general way and the different kinds, 1 and 2?
Diabetes is when there's too much sugar in your blood, and the sugar can't get into your cells to be burned for fuel. It's kind of like you're awash in gasoline, but your motor is starved. Mm-hmm. So the main problem isn't so much the sugar building up in the blood initially. The main problem is that the key that unlocks the furnace, which are your cells, to let the sugar in to be burned for fuel, it's not working. And in type 1 diabetes, which mostly is an immune disease of childhood, it's because the cells that make insulin are destroyed, so the keys are being destroyed. In adult onset diabetes, it's called insulin resistance. There's too many of these keys, but the lock is stuck and the keys won't work. So the sugar builds up in the blood, causing diabetes, and can't get into the cells, so your cells are starved for energy.
Okay, and is type 1 and type 2 optional, or are you really, if you have the juvenile diabetes or the 1, is it not optional?
It's not optional. For type 1, the treatment is insulin.
Right.
Life-saving. There's a lot that can be done to improve things.
Mm-hmm.
But for type 2, we're talking about the adult onset diabetic,
okay.
Which is actually beginning in many people in childhood these days because of the Western diet.
Mm-hmm. And does diabetes generally run in families? Is it hereditary?
It can be. And you'll see that many people will have what's called metabolic syndrome. They have high blood pressure, high cholesterol. They get a spare tire around their waist. And they'll see their parents had this. So there's a definite genetic predisposition. But even if you have the genetics, you don't have to get diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
Just pay more attention to make sure that you do the things needed.
And it could be hereditary, just learning to cook from mom, too, right?
Yeah.
So in your book, you say that over one-third of the adult population will eventually develop diabetes or the metabolic syndrome. That's the muffin top or the having the insulin resistance where you get a big tummy. Why the increase in our world? That one-third of the adult population, that's a lot.
That is a lot. When it used to be very, very rare, if you go back before the Western diet, almost nobody had type 2 diabetes, extremely unusual. And the reason we're seeing this increase, a lot of it has to do with a high-sugar diet. The average American has 100, and that includes North and South, although in the U.S. are a bit worse than Canada, it's 140 pounds of sugar per person per year. That's over 65 kilos of sugar that are being dumped into our diet and food processing. It's 18% of our calories, and it's replacing healthy fiber that normally you're going to find in vegetables and whole grains. We're seeing the same thing with white flour, which is another 18% of calories, which may as well be sugar. So almost a third of our diet, sugar, white flour, loss of fiber, and that's the key number one trigger.
Mm-hmm. So white flour, white sugar, white pastas, all sugar.
Yes, and again, I think the pastas, things like that are okay in moderation. But where people need to really go to get rid of the big bulk of sugar are these sugared drinks.
Mm-hmm.
You're looking at a soda. That's 3/4 of a teaspoon of sugar per ounce. So every 30 cc's, it's almost another teaspoon of sugar. So if you get one of these big burp sodas, you can be getting 48 spoons of sugar, and it's insane. Fruit juices, the same amount of sugar, so 3/4 teaspoon per ounce. So you want to switch to vegetable juices. You want to switch off the sodas. Make your own tea or your own drinks. Sweeten it with stevia. So you want to keep the pleasure, but just get rid of those, you know, health-busting drinks. They're nasty.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of carbonated water with a bit of stevia?
And lemon.
And mm-hmm. lemon.
Yes, very tasty.
Good. So just avoid the soft drinks, avoid the extra sugars, avoid the fruit juices, eat your fruits whole.
Eat the whole fruit. You can get all the fruit you want. If you have a 16-ounce orange juice with 12 spoons of sugar, you'd have to eat 8 oranges to get that. If you want to sit down and eat 8 oranges at a sitting, at least you'll get the fiber and everybody will just sit there and laugh at you. So have fun.
So, Jacob, say I just found out that I had type 2 diabetes. I go to the allopathic doctor. I get medicine. And do I just get to eat whatever I want then?
Nope. Medicines won't work. They'll bring down the sugar a little bit. But the only real medicine for adult diabetes that's really withstood the test of time for being effective is a medication called metformin. It's an excellent medication, but it only goes so far. It may drop your blood sugar. The best test for blood sugar is called a glycosylated hemoglobin. It gives you the average over several months. And you want it to be, in healthy people, most people run about 5.4. When it goes above 5.7, you're starting to get prediabetes. When it goes above 6, I consider you to have diabetes. And some people go up 9, 10, 11. That's when they're going to be dead, you know, if they don't do something about it.
Mm-hmm.
Medication brings it down about 1 point. And The herbals will bring it down another point or two.
So you mentioned metformin. Is there a herbal alternative to metformin?
Yes, and it can also be taken along with it. So there's an herb called Hintonia latiflora. It's called, the other name for it, the way that it's branded in North America is Sucantrel D. You'd have to get it from the U.S. If you're in Canada. So mm-hmm. the Sucantrel D lowers that test about 1 point on average in the studies. Mm-hmm. So it's as or more effective than the metformin. But again, this is not an either-or thing. I prefer natural to the medications.
Mm-hmm.
But metformin is a very safe medication. The one concern with it is that it will cause vitamin B12 deficiency if you're not taking a multivitamin with it. So I like things like the Energy Revitalization System vitamin powder, where one drink replaces 35 pills, and we'll give you a lot of the vitamin B12. That will help the diabetes also on its own. So there's a lot of these things that can be done. There's another wonderful herb called berberine.
Mm-hmm.
200 to 500 milligrams three times a day will also go ahead and lower blood sugar and cholesterol. The higher dose can upset people's stomachs a little bit. If that happens, just go to the 200 milligrams three times a day.
So any side effects from berberine other than balancing the blood sugar?
Well, the side benefits.
Side benefits.
It kills bugs that you don't want in your gut, and it also helps with the cholesterol coming down.
So that's a pretty fantastic product. If you're being told you need to be on metformin, it's a nice alternative.
It is. And again, for those who want to go all naturally, mm-hmm. The Sucantrel D is outstanding for diabetes. Then you want to get some magnesium. Magnesium, 200 milligrams a day, and vitamin D, 1,000 units a day. All of those are important for preventing the diabetes. But again, the vitamin powder, that's all going to be in there. Get a really good multivitamin. Mm-hmm. Most are not. But, Kathy, you can guide people as to what is. It'll have 200 milligrams of magnesium, 400 to 1,000 units of vitamin D. And all of these things really help your body to get rid of the diabetes and to maintain healthy blood sugar. And again, the metformin, you know, some people get a little nausea from it or diarrhea, then you lower the dose. But it's overall, it's quite a safe medication. And I would use all these things together to get your glycosylated hemoglobin under 6. I would use the lifestyle. I would use the herbals. I would use the nutrients. And that's really the only medication that I found for the long term to be safe and effective in diabetes.
Most
of them are just money-making, deadly things.
Yeah, so it's a very, very simple protocol, really. There's not all that much. I didn't hear you mention chromium. What does chromium have to do with diabetes?
Well, chromium is part, for the insulin to work, it takes a cofactor that's made up of glutathione and chromium. So you can actually get GTF chromium, that's the whole thing. It's critical for the insulin to work. Its effect on blood sugar is modest, but it's important to not be deficient. So, again, a good multivitamin will have 50 to 250 micrograms of chromium. And that's why I like the vitamin powder. It's all in there, and it just makes it very easy for people. So you want that chromium. I actually did a study on chromium and diabetes. That was the first study that I ever did. So it lowered the HDL. Its effect on its own on the lowering the blood sugar was modest, though.
Okay. Jacob, there's quite a few alternatives here that are highly effective. Do you recommend any exclusive combinations?
Well, I think that the Sucantrel D is exclusive.
That's coming out of the States, is it?
It's Hintonia latiflora, mm-hmm. and it'll be combined with some of the magnesium and the other nutrients all together.
Okay. So this is a pretty new product. We're going to have to go to a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking about this Hintonia latiflora. So we'll be right back.